What's up, West Lib? This is Matt, and you're listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, calling in from Mount Pleasant, Ohio, I have Joe Zelick. Joe is a pharmacist and a local musician. Joe, we finally got our interview underway. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Matt. How are you?
Great. Happy to be here. Happy to get this interview in. I'm very excited. So, Joe, when...
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to dive into your pharmacist lifestyle first. I was wondering, when did you actually decide you wanted to be a pharmacist?
I guess probably in high school. You know, my family owns a small pharmacy in Dillonville, as you know.
Yep.
And it just made sense. You know, it's the family business. I really do enjoy it, especially in a small town setting like what we do. And it's sort of the perfect, over the years, it's been the perfect complement to a music career as well, because at times I've been full-time music, at other times I've been full-time pharmacy. So, you know, family business, a good fit to work in with the music career, it's just been a blessing. Yep.
Well, that's awesome, man. I know you guys have always been really good to my family and my friends. I want you guys to know we really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. We love you guys. You're like family.
For sure. Absolutely. And I know you're talking about how much you enjoyed. I was wondering if there's any struggles that come with being a small-town pharmacist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the nature of the business itself these days, and, you know, in terms of competing with chain pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies, you know, there's a lot of challenges there. It's not like it used to be. It's tough to compete with these giant corporations, and they do whatever they can to make small pharmacies like us go away.
Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest challenge, but, you know, we just try to offer the best service we can, and, you know, people can pick up the phone and talk to one of us right away. We just try to offer all those things that some of the big chains and mail order companies can't offer. You know, we just keep it small town, and you know, so far so good. We've been there a long time and thankful for every minute of it.
Yeah, I agree that that family feel really is like underrated in the aspect of going through a small pharmacy for sure. Because I know you call like Walgreens.
With anything, I feel like we're losing that in almost every business. You know, everything is just becoming sort of chain-driven. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think there is if that's the only option. It just seems like it's tough to make a go independently in most businesses these days.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So what other responsibilities do you have at the pharmacy?
Well, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
you know, when it's a small business like that, you do it all. I mean, no matter how small, you know, cleaning up from, you know, the very bottom of the food chain kind of stuff, the small stuff that needs done, all the way to the big picture stuff, you know, we're just a mom and pop shop, so all of us pretty much do it all.
Do they put you out there to shovel the driveway too? Because I noticed that whenever I came down there about a month ago.
Yeah, you'll see me shoveling.
There you go. Hey, you know that's
yeah, man.
There's pride.
It.
There's pride in that. There's pride in that. I'm glad you take your job.
Dude,
you know,
yeah,
like, you take it to heart.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you own your own business, your job is to do whatever needs done, man. And that's what we all do, you know.
Absolutely. Do you have plans in the future of taking over the pharmacy?
I mean, yeah, I'm going to keep it going as long as we can. You know, it's a, I'm managing more of it these days, but it's a family business. So sure, I want to keep it going as long as we can. And it's a good balance to the music career. So I'm thankful for that. And yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Do you have any little pups in line that's going to come in and help work with you?
I have a daughter that works. She's a teenager, and you'll see her there in the summers. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. All right, Joe, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on WGLZ.
This is your sign to stop flipping through the stations.
crank up the dial. You're listening to WGLZ, West Liberties College Radio.
Inspirations to get into this business?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I love music. I love radio.
Radio is a lot different these days, too.
For sure. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's a lot more online.
I have to put you in touch with my friend Chad Tyson. He's one of my good buddies. He's the afternoon guy on DVE.
Okay. I would love that. I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, he'd be a good dude for you to talk to.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Joe. I really do. Which I guess that would kind of segment us into our second segment here on WGLZ, talking about your music career. What did you listen to growing up? What were your inspirations to get into music?
Hard rock and heavy metal when I was a kid. Those are my roots for sure. And then that expanded into everything. Country music became a big part of my life, and you know, growing up in this area, that's a part of everything. And got heavily into jazz. Was actually in New York for about 6 months right before 9/11, spending some time studying jazz there when the band that I was touring with took a break. But man, everything. But my roots are definitely in hard rock music. Yep.
Yeah, I can't go wrong there. That's why I listen to it religiously. And I'm sure you've heard every song that I'm just getting into a million times, and I'm sure it could get stale after a while. Are you still finding joy in the band you listen to and the music you play?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm producing mostly these days, and I really love that. That's been growing rapidly for me over the past few years. So I'm producing artists from Texas and Canada. I'm leaving for Nashville here in a couple weeks to do some recording for a project I'm producing for a new Canadian artist.
Oh, wow.
So that keeps me really inspired, you know, the production side of things. And, you know, I've launched a rock project called Quiet the Horses. So, you know, at this point in my career, I'm still starting new things, still creating new stuff. I'm always inspired. And I'm always listening, man. I'm always looking for what's new, what's out there. Yeah. I'm always spending time on Bandcamp, looking for underground bands and music. So yeah, inspiration is never an issue for me.
That's awesome. What kind of new bands are you listening to?
Well, just now, just before I called you, I was listening to a band called Volbeat.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah, so I'm digging them. There is a band. I mentioned that I'm starting a project called Quiet the Horses, and one of the guys that I work with in that band, his name is Andrew DeCagna, and he has a project. He operates out of Martin's Ferry, and he has a band called Iron Flame, and I love those guys. I've been listening to their records a lot lately, and he also has a second project with another local guy named Corey Ross. And they have a band together called Brimstone Coven, and I've been really into them lately as well.
Okay. What genre are they? What do they classify as?
Iron Flame, I would say, is sort of like classic power metal in the vein of, like, Iron Maiden.
Well, that's cool.
And Brimstone Coven is more sort of a retro, like, 70s, you know, like a 70s, I don't want to say stoner rock, I think that cheapens it too much, but just kind of a retro 70s rock kind of vibe, and they have kind of a, you know, a lot of cool dark imagery and stuff, but great songs, great harmonies, and real retro in terms of their, you know, recordings.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to check them out for sure, because that's right up my alley. It sounds like it is.
They're both great projects, yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about some of the bands you were in. When I picked up this, I actually had Jim Bersey on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were talking.
Oh, no kidding, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about his band. I picked up, you know, one of your CDs, or JFK CD from Dillonville's Pharmacy, and I saw your name on there, and I just want to be sure that you were you part of JFK at one point?
Yeah, I was part of JFK for years. We rehearsed in the basement of the pharmacy. I was the drummer in that band. I think Jim Bersey and Joe Heskey was the other guy. Mr. Bersey was my teacher. He was subbing when I was in high school.
Huh.
And then on graduation day, he offered me the gig. I auditioned a couple nights before, and then he offered me the gig. And I played in that band all through college, you know. So from, like, 90, let's see, would have been 93 through like 98, something like that, 99.
Wow.
Yeah, I played on that CD. You know, I wrote some several songs on that CD. So, yeah, they played hundreds of gigs.
See, I never knew that. Like, no offense, Jim, if you're listening, but I always thought that you were younger than Jim, and now that you said he was subbing while you were, you know, in high school. So I wasn't sure if I read it wrong or whatever. So that's really cool to me, actually, that you were in the band with Jim.
Oh, yeah, geez. Jim and I have been through a lot of shows together. He's great.
Yeah. How many bands were you in after JFK?
After JFK, I moved to Pittsburgh. I was going to college there, actually while I was in pharmacy school. And Jim and I started another original band together. It was called Wonder Soul, I think, if memory serves. And we had some success there. We played like at the Capitol Music Hall with Government Mule, and we had some songs on Eagle 107. It went pretty well. And there was a guy in Pittsburgh that was booking that band, and he became the road manager for a band called The Gathering Field. And I was a huge fan of them from living in Pittsburgh. And their drummer, those guys were a little bit older than me, and their drummer was not wanting to tour. So via that guy that was booking our band, I got an audition with The Gathering Field. And I got that gig and hit the road with those guys for several years. We toured the entire country, and we were on tour with bands like Train and Vertical Horizon and stuff
wow.
like that. And we, I was in that, let's see, that would have been around 98, 99, and played in that pretty much until I started my own thing. I think the band was on Atlantic Records. It slowed down a little bit after, you know, we lost the record deal and so forth. And I continued on and played drums with the singer Bill Deasy and his solo band. So I did that for a couple years as well. Also played drums with a lot of different acts out of Pittsburgh, just kind of one-off things. Dave Pahanish was maybe the most major. He went on to write number ones for Toby Keith and Keith Urban and stuff, but
wow.
played drums with him for a while. And then, I started transitioning to writing my own material and getting into my own projects. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Like, I didn't know all this to your music career. I was younger. I remember you playing at Jamboree in the Hills. I remember riding in the car with my dad,
yeah.
and we all had the radio on because they were going to play one of your songs from the Rust Belt Kings. Was that the band?
That was a band I had later. That was kind of, later in the country thing. That band was something that I started with my friend Matt Husel.
Okay.
He's kind of a legend around, definitely a legend around here from bands like Humble Sacrifice and the Train Jumpers. And that was a little later
yeah.
in the game. We did an EP and we did play Jamboree under the Rust Belt Kings name one year and did some local gigs, but
okay.
ultimately it kind of slowed down. Yep.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, it was crazy because, like I was saying, we were just all in the car and my dad was like, they're going to be playing Joe. I think it's on 102.5 or 107.5. So we were all just sitting there, we were listening to it, and I was like, wow. To me, I was like, but I didn't know all this previous stuff. I was like, wow, Joe's really making it. He's on the radio. And that's a memory I'll always have.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate with that over the years in several different projects to get a lot of radio play in the area. And then, I mean, even with the Joe Zelick band thing, in the country days, we were lucky enough to get a little record deal happening in Nashville, and we had a song called Who You Gonna Run To. This was around 2010, maybe.
Okay.
Went to about number 50 on the national country charts, and
wow.
and we, you know, we were touring, doing a radio tour for that, so we were all over the place. So, yeah, kind of two big episodes of touring, once with the Joe Zelick band, where it was my solo project, but before that, yeah, I'd been all over the country with the Gathering Field. I mean, we played Star Lake with that band. We played everywhere. It was amazing.
Wow. Was it hard transitioning from rock and roll and, like, the metal and all that into a country career?
Not at all, because at the time, what drew me to country is that it was rock. And if you ever saw our band, you know, if you saw the Joe Zelick band, it was really a rock band.
Yeah.
I mean, all of country was that way at the time. So it really resonated with me. You know, I started hearing guys like Keith Urban and, you know, Rascal Flatts and Brooks and Dunn and all this stuff at the time. It just sounded like classic rock. And,
yeah,
you know, for the way my voice worked and for the kind of music I was writing, it just became a natural fit. But if you ever saw our band, geez, we were playing stuff from Poison to Johnny Cash, to, you know, AC/DC. It was we were definitely on the rock side of country. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's what appealed to a lot of people around here for sure. Was there ever like a point in your career where you were like mentally, you're like, wow, I've made it. I'm like traveling around. I'm touring everywhere. I got songs on the radio. Was there a certain point where you were like, I'm actually doing this?
Yeah, I don't know if you ever feel like you made it. And I don't, you know, I obviously haven't made it to the degree that some huge acts have. But I've had that feeling a couple times. Once was in the Gathering Field. Right after I auditioned for them, I got a phone call 2 days later, and they asked what I was doing that next weekend. I said I was free, and they offered me the job, and we hit the road, and we went to I remember we went to Detroit. I think my first show was in Detroit. I want to say we played Cleveland, maybe Philadelphia, and then we came back to Pittsburgh at the end of that run, and we headlined Star Lake with the Clarks on like a radio festival for the X. I think it was called Surge Fest or something like that. So the last, it was maybe my fourth gig in the band, was main stage at Star Lake. And I remember, I'll tell you the exact moment, Matt. It was the song that we were opening with on that tour. It just opened with a drum thing, just like a kick drum hi-hat thing. So, you know, Star Lake, there were like 16,000 people there maybe at that point in the night, and I walked out by myself and sat down behind the kit to open the show with this little drum beat, and that's the moment when I thought, yeah, things are starting to take off.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, you know, it happened. I mean, we toured a lot in that band, so we played House of Blues in Chicago. You know, that was another moment. Several of those shows in that era with the Gathering Field. And then, you know, to see the JZB thing take off the way it did, that really exceeded my wildest dreams. So walking on the stage at Jamboree, you know, especially 2008, 2009, 10, when it was really, the band was popping, the songs were on the radio all over the country, and there were big crowds out there. And
yeah.
In some of those kickoff shows that we played out there, just big, huge crowds. And those were moments where I could feel that again, like, yeah, wow, this is happening.
How do you keep yourself composed when you're in front of a crowd of that just multitude? Like, how do you get up there and just play and play without letting the crowd's emotions affect you and how you play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can really describe that. You just do what you do, whether,
yeah,
you know, if you're in this business, you've done it a million times in front of nobody.
Yeah.
You know, you've played so many empty bars and empty shows that you just kind of put in your reps, you know, you know, that concept of 10,000 hours, like that Malcolm Gladwell talks about. You kind of put in your 10,000 hours, and once that happens, it's not that different, you know, whether there's 20,000 people there or there's 20 people there. I mean, there's certainly a different energy. I'm not going to say there's not. There is. There's adrenaline,
yeah,
and you certainly know it. But that goes away really quick, you know, within the first song. And once you kind of ride the wave of that energy, it's just doing what you do. It's just like you've done it 100 other times, you know?
Yeah, I could compare that. I had a football coach one time telling us about how we were all nervous before the game. He's like, after that first hit, you're good to go. You know, you just got to get in there. You just got to go. And
yeah,
after that first hit, you're good. You're good for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's probably similar. You know, it's probably similar in the sense that no matter what's going on, like however many people are in the stands at the football game, what the situation is, you just kind of put your head down and do your job, you know. And honestly, over the years, I found it easier. I don't know if you felt this way in sports, but I found it easier when there was a big crowd, because it becomes like, it's so huge that it's almost faceless. It's just this giant energy that you're kind of working with. And sometimes when there's less people there, like when you're in a bar and there's just 20 people up in your face, that's almost more,
yeah,
that's almost more awkward and nerve wracking, because then you have, you know, eye contact and it's just a different energy. But I've actually have found it easier over the years to be in front of big crowds.
yeah. Unfortunately, my teams were pretty bad at sports, so we didn't really draw a big crowd that often. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Do you have any plans of playing in the area anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. the last show that we did as Joe Zelek Band was 2019. We opened for Neil McCoy at the Capitol. It was sold out, and it was one of the best shows we'd ever done. The crowd, just the hometown crowd, you know, they knew every word to every song. And it was just a good, I think, sort of period on the sentence of Joe Zelek Band. Since then, my production career has become so busy that between that and managing the business, I don't have a lot of time to do anything else. And I really enjoy focusing on developing artists and producing artists. That's definitely where my heart is right now. However, that being said, in the coming years, I do hope that Quiet the Horses finds its way out there in terms of some shows or some live element. I'm taking this project really slow, developing it slow. It's a labor of love, but it is going well enough and getting enough attention that I think there will be a live element to that in the next few years sometime. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, whatever you touch, Joe, it turns to gold. So trust the process, man. I know you're going to do good. I want to thank you again for calling in. I really appreciate your time. This was a really good interview.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks. You have a good day.
You too.
See ya. All right. I just got off the phone with Joe Zelek, and he brought a lot to the table that I was unfamiliar with. He grew up in the same area as me, so I knew of Joe, and I knew his music, and we go to his pharmacy and all that. But I didn't know how widespread his music actually was. That's crazy to me. It's mind-blowing. So you're in the studio with Matt on WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are Passionately Vocal. Let's get back to music.